And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to kick off the year and talk some football. It's the best time of year. He's my good friend Alan Slaughter-Zinsky with Brevard Sports Network. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. I'm sad today, buddy. You know, I'm sad because college football's over, and I thought it was a great year, man.
Did you like the game last night?
No, it sucked. It was exactly what I thought it would be. Michigan's defense, I thought, would be too much for Washington's offense. And, look, Michael Penix Jr. is a special, special player. But, you know, Donovan Edwards, when he hits that 41-yard run and then a 46-yard run, you just kind of knew, Mark. I think the thing that surprised me about this game last night was how Washington was able to run the football as effectively as they were and couldn't do anything with it.
Are you okay with Michigan being the champions today?
Sure, it's a Harbaugh running the team.
Did you like your boy? The coach of the Ravens showed up during the game to see his brother.
Yeah, and he took some players with him from the Ravens, and I thought that we talk a lot about football families, and I think a lot on a lot of occasions, obviously, the Mannings are the Mannings. They are the creme de la creme when you're talking about football families. Arch and Peyton and Eli, and now we got another one. In Texas. So, obviously, they're the staple. But, listen, man, the Harbaughs are a pretty successful football family as well. I mean, Jim was a good quarterback in Michigan. He was a decent NFL quarterback. I actually got to saw him as quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. He gave us our first win over the Colts when the Ravens played the Colts in Baltimore for the first time. So, this is a football family. They're going to stick together. You know, that's what made that Super Bowl so special between the Ravens and the 49ers. Aside from the fact I'm a Ravens fan and they won, you just think about that storyline of brothers going against each other. You know, how do the parents feel? I just think it's just a great dynamic.
Is Jim Harbaugh the coach of Michigan next year?
No, I don't think he is. I think he should be, because I think that's the best spot for him. You know, the NCAA is still investigating. There still could very well be sanctions and penalties that come his way. But I think for his mark in this football world, he continues to build a power at Michigan, and I don't see anything that would slow him down. He finally got over the Ohio State hump. He finally got over the college football playoff hump. He finally got Michigan back to a national championship. I think that's the spot for him. With that said, guys like Jim Harbaugh, who have played this game at every level and come from a family like he does, I believe there's a churning and a burning inside of him that wants the ultimate success at the very top level of what it is he loves so much in life, and that's football. So, yes, I think he moves on to the NFL. And I think the ideal job for him, everybody's saying San Diego, and yes, San Diego would be a terrific job, but I could see a scenario where he ends up as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. You've got new ownership there. He can go in. He could be the general manager. And wouldn't that just be amazing for Jack Harbaugh and Mrs. Jack Harbaugh to be able to get a camper and go back and forth 45 minutes on I-95 watching their sons coach NFL football teams?
Okay, first off, you did it again, and I've done this as well. And I think Tony Romo did it in the broadcast on Sunday. You called them by their old name, first off. Yes, I do it too. Don't worry. I call them.
I'm sorry.
We all do. We all do it.
I'm stuck in my ways. Look, the Washington Commanders.
Look. I still think they're the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders. Don't worry. You're not alone.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think this is just like Pete Carroll at USC, where the NCAA is going to finally come down, and he's like, well, I'm out of here. I think he's going to the NFL. You go back a couple years, Alan. You look at Harbaugh, where he couldn't get over the hump. He couldn't beat Ohio State, and the fans were coming for him. Then he finally gets over the hump. Then he gets to the playoff. He can't win. This has been a long process to get to last night. The question for you, Alan Sutterzinski, is there going to be an asterisk by this championship with him missing six games because of what happened?
No. I mean, they will put one by. And ultimately, Mark, when this is done, you could be looking at a two-win national champion, right? I mean, they could ultimately...
I mean, it's not...
The NCAA is so ridiculous, Mark Moses, that it would not shock me if they pulled wins and Michigan has the college football trophy. You know, you go online and you look, and I'm writing the preview the other day, and I'm looking up national championship wins for Michigan, and this happens every year, you know, when you do, you know, when Alabama's in the game or whatever. You look at the research you do, and there are always two sentences. One says actual national championships, and then one says claimed national championships. And I just look at it and laugh because, you know, not only has the NCAA always been a joke, but they always will be a joke. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did put asterisks next to these wins.
Hey, don't forget, you don't play for the NCAA championship in college football.
No, I know, but the record keeping is all done through there. So that's and the ultimate decisions that are made come from Indianapolis, you know, at NCAA headquarters. They may not govern the national championships, but they're the ones that are going to take the wins away or put the asterisks next to the, you know, next to the records.
Yeah, who doesn't have their championship? Okay. So I'm trying to think over the last couple of years. I remember Louisville basketball, Rick Pitino, that they took away that championship. I think, you know what? I was thinking Michigan with the Fab Five. They took down those banners like they didn't happen, but they didn't.
You know what's interesting about the point that, and that's a very good point that you just made, that the NCAA, there, you look across the, you know, there were 41 bowl games played.
Yeah.
And you don't see NCAA anywhere on a football field.
No.
Okay? No. And so if you stop and you think about it, Michigan fans, me and you, right, we could care less if they take these wins away. You know, I still believe one of the greatest injustices in the history of college football, and a lot of people disagree with me on this, is the fact that Reggie Bush still doesn't have his Heisman Trophy.
I agree. He needs to get it back. It's ridiculous. Just give it to him already. Who cares?
I would have never gave it back to them. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't have.
You would have kept it the whole time.
Absolutely. I would have told him, you want it, serve me for it.
Tackle me. he's on the football field. You got to tackle him to grab the trophy. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, just like the guy on the trophy, right? You know, put
just
your
push
arm
him
out, run it.
Oh, you're right. He's the only one. Remember, OJ never, it's like, see, you forget this. The trophy, remember, he had to steal it back. But the NCAA didn't, I know, this is all crazy what we're talking about right now. But I agree with Reggie Bush. Michigan is the champion. They were the best team. They beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl. They're the champion. They are. And I know the SEC homers will, Georgia lost. Georgia had to play one game in Atlanta, and they lost to Bama. They're out. That's how I look at it, Alan. How about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen, in the end, you have you had two 14-0 teams playing last night.
Yeah.
That's what you want in the college football playoff finals. And now you got a 15-0 national champion. So, you know what? Season settled. It's over. Yes, we'll be talking about what happened to FSU since, you know, until the Cows come home. I get it. But, yes, the best team in the country won the national championship last night.
All right, you want to go there? You want to go there, Alan Slaughterzinski? I want to say this to you because we've not been on the air together for a while, and it's good to hear from you. I feel bad. I'm going to say this, but I believe this in my heart. If Florida State had all their players on the field, they still lose to Georgia in that game. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. How about you?
Listen, if they have all their players on the field, they have to be a college football playoff team, right? So, but with that said, I don't think they beat Alabama. I don't think they beat Washington. I don't think they beat Michigan. Who's the fourth team?
Okay, Texas.
I don't think they beat Texas, Mark. And that's not going to sit well with Florida State fans. But you know, I just don't see Florida State beating any of those four teams.
I didn't either. But they deserve to be in the playoff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Agree.
It's so ridiculous. My thought process, and I want your take. So the NFL was so good this past weekend, and I'm like, it was Black Monday yesterday, and I'm getting ready for the playoffs, and we got two teams in Florida in the playoffs, and I'm like excited. Then the game came on last night, and I kind of didn't care. Like, I'm in NFL playoff mode. Did you kind of feel that way last night watching that college game?
No, I had an invested interest in the game last night. You know, we've got a guy at Brevard Sports Network, Coach Rob Query, Coach Blue. And, Mark, stop and think about how big of a Bears fan you and your dad are and how big of a Baltimore fan I am. It pales in comparison to the fan of Michigan. This guy's from Michigan.
Yeah.
He loves the Lions. He loves Michigan. And again, like I said, you know, touched on earlier, I like the hardball angle. I wanted to see Michigan finish this last night, and I wanted to see them finish it as emphatically as they did. And you got two future Big Ten, or you got now two Big Ten teams now that the season's over in Washington. You know, I don't think we talked enough during, you know, this entire national championship game about the demise of the Pac-12 and what they did this year and how good they were. And, you know, I had a lot of emotions running through my head last night watching that, because next year, Mark, and I don't think people truly know this yet, or it hasn't hit people yet. Next year, college football, however much you loved it and everything that it was up until last night, it is a completely different game next year.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I was ready. The minute I put this on Twitter so I think Michigan was up a touchdown and then they scored that to go up two touchdowns. I pretty much wrote, game over, bring on the 12-team playoff. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready
I've always been in favor of the 12-team playoff. I am a traditionalist. There have been college football playoffs along the way that, you know, you said, yeah, well, maybe there should be four teams. But that's the beauty of sports, the debate in it, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I say bring on the 12th and let's argue about 13, 14, and 15.
I know, I love it. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to give hope to teams. Like, if you're Ole Miss and you're always winning, you know, like 10 games, you're 10-2 with Lane Kiffin, you can go to the playoff now. You can make it. Even if you're the Gators, I know this is a stretch here. Hey, the Gators, let's say you go 9-3 and you get some big quality wins, you might go in as the 12th team. That's what's excited to me. That's what makes it very exciting.
Take a guy like myself, who is a huge Maryland football fan.
Yeah.
Look, Maryland, you know, Michigan beat Maryland 31-24 this year. The Terps put up more points on Michigan this year than just about anybody did. I knew the Terps were never going to be. I mean, their only national championship came in 1954. And I believe they even lost the Orange Bowl and somehow backed into that one.
Yeah.
But it gives me hope to think that one day, maybe, they can be the 10th, 11th, or 12th team.
I agree with you. It's going to change everything. I'm very excited. Let's get to the NFL here with Alan Slaughterzinski with Brevard Sports Network. All right. How big of a disappointment was it with the Jaguars losing Sunday and especially just being awful in December and January?
You know, Mark, And the only, yeah, I mean, the only team they beat really was a putrid Carolina team. Listen, yeah. I don't want to make excuses. Trevor Lawrence was banged up. I don't want to hear it. And I can't remember the player that said it the other day. He goes, I don't care. Oh, it was the announcer during the game. The announcer during the game says, I don't care if he's hurt. I don't care if he's banged up. This is what's on the line. This is what he has to go out and do. Not only did he fail, Doug Peterson failed. The offensive coordinator failed. Press. I just don't understand the play calling in that game. It's almost as if, Mark, the Jaguars didn't want to advance. When they got down on the goal line and it's third and goal from the two and they throw a ridiculous little out pass and then try that jump, Trevor Lawrence tries that jump thing, whatever that was, I'm thinking, why wouldn't you just turn around and if you're going to do that, turn around and hand the football off twice. You know, I just didn't understand. And listen, Mark, as good of a coach as Doug Peterson is, I think it's an indictment on him that this team took a slide back this year. If you're sitting in Khan's office and he's having end of the year meetings, that's not a great conversation you're having. This was arguably one of the most disappointing seasons in the history of Jacksonville Jaguar football, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%. They were 8-3 going into December, and they were pitiful. They had a chance at the one seed and then fell apart. And the other team, you think of the Dolphins. Okay, Christmas, pretty much you go to Baltimore. That was for a battle for the one seed overall. Your Ravens destroyed them. Then they lose to Buffalo. They went from being the one or two seed to now they're the six seed going to Kansas City. How disappointing was the ending to the Dolphins season then, Alan?
Well, if you're a fan and you're a player, obviously you're disappointed. But there is a huge difference in what happened to the Miami Dolphins as opposed to what happened to the Jacksonville Jaguars, in my opinion, Mark. You know, Miami's going into that game at Kansas City on Saturday night, and they're going to be down five defensive starters. This was a defense that was absolutely depleted. This was a banged-up football team. Tyreek Hill was not healthy. They didn't have Jalen Waddle. I mean, and yet, I believe, you know, outside of the Ravens game, I loved the fight in them. And while I don't think they're going to win this football game Saturday night, I don't think they're going to go into Kansas City and get blown out. I know it's going to be 10 degrees. I know what the weather is. I know Tua is a warm weather cooler. I get it. But I just think that this football team gave everything they had, and they just didn't have enough. And when they went into Baltimore, they were really beat up. You know, I mean, listen, just a ridiculous decision to leave Bradley Chubb in the football game at that point. You don't have your best pass rusher, you know, going into Buffalo. But they still gave Josh Allen fits in that game. They forced three red zone turnovers. There was still hope in that football game that they were going to win. But I hear you. There was a lot of expectations and excitement for this football team this year, especially with the way that they started. They're still the number one offense in football. And we'll see what happens. But I do think there are two totally different – I get the feeling there was quit in Jacksonville.
I
never saw any quit in Miami. I just didn't.
This is my thing about Jacksonville. Like, if you're a casual fan – outside looking in, the more exciting team won the division and is better for the playoffs in the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud. Like, that's what people want. This is exciting. The Jaguars are just a sinking ship, and I think they'd get destroyed by Cleveland if they made the playoffs. And my other point, I want your take on this, Alan, is who's the favorite to win that division next year? I'll say Houston with C.J. Stroud. It won't be Jacksonville.
No, it won't be Jacksonville, and I'll take it a step further. You look what the Indianapolis Colts did.
Oh yeah,
with Gardner Minshew, And, you know, then they're now they're going to get Anthony Richardson wasn't having a bad season when he got hurt, Mark. So now you got Anthony Richardson and you've got the MVP rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud. And does Trevor Lawrence at some point now become the third best quarterback in that division?
It could happen.
If Anthony Richardson comes back next year and has a good year, I don't think that's a stretch to say.
It's going to be interesting. Dolphins better show up in that game. I don't care if it is 5 degrees. I'm with you. They better show up. All right, this you can't go from scoring 70 points in a game earlier in the year, have the number one offense, and then lose. We're going to find out.
No, I agree.
You know what's funny? Okay, if you take a step back, Mike McDaniel shows up, back-to-back playoff appearances, right? Tua starts every game this year. Multiple Pro Bowlers. You have a chance, Tyreek Hill, 1,700 yards. Waddle, 1,000-yard receiver. Like, they put up all these, like, great stats, but I had high look, by the time we got to December, I said this team could make a run to the AFC Championship game. Now I don't know if they can show up at Kansas City. That's why it's a disappointment, Alan.
I think even at 80% healthy, which is about where they are, you know, that, you know, listen, I thought Devon,
A-Chain.
I thought he had a fantastic game. I thought, you know, it was an inspirational performance he had back in week 17. And then, you know, if they get Raheem Mostert back, you know, I think that is as formidable of a 1-2 punch. Listen, they got Tyreek Hill. He's hobbled. He's supposed to get Jalen Waddle back. That offense, Mark, can give. And if the Dolphins can run the football, they got a chance to win this game.
I really agree.
And Kansas City's offense, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it is as bad as it has been.
I agree.
I mean, I believe the Dolphins have a chance to win this game.
Let's go to your picks then. We're here on Slaughter Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. All right, first game, Cleveland Browns at Houston Texans, 4:30. Cleveland's a 2.5-point favorite on the road with your boy Joe Flacco. Who wins the game?
Yeah, I'm all over the Houston Texans on this one. Listen, I love what Joe Flacco has done. And it's really been great to see Joe come back and do this, honestly. But you just go look at the teams he's beaten in this process, the Jags, the Jets, the Bears, no offense, but in some of those games, it was a pure struggle to win those games. Listen, you know, Cleveland's defense is, you know, a lot of people think it's the Ravens, but it's not. Cleveland has the actual number one defense in the National Football League. I think they do a lot of the things that are good for playoff time, but C.J. Stroud, man, he looked really good. And I just think the Houston Texans win this football game.
Dolphins at Chiefs Saturday night.
You know, as bad as I want to sit here and take the Dolphins, and I do think they have a chance to win this football game, in the end, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's the playoffs. I'll take the Chiefs.
Steelers at Bills. Who do you like?
Yeah, the Bills. Well, you know, listen, with no J.J. Watt, which is brutal. And listen, the Steelers were 5-1, Mark, against playoff teams this year. They swept the Ravens. Yeah. Now, I know they played their JVs on Saturday, but they did beat Lamar Jackson earlier this season. In fact, the Ravens are 1-3 against the Browns and the Steelers this year. But with that said, no J.J. Watt. You can't get a sustainable pass rush on Josh Allen, who everybody thought played spectacularly on Sunday night. I didn't. I didn't think he played well at all, to be honest with you.
He is Jekyll and Hyde, Josh Allen. Yeah. He makes horrible mistakes at times. Horrible.
What he did Sunday night, we'll see the Buffalo Bills exit stage left at some point in these playoffs. But it won't be this weekend. I do think, I can't even believe the Steelers are in the playoffs with what they've been forced to do at quarterback this year. But they're there, but they'll be going home. I like the Bills.
Okay. Cowboys-Packers.
Yeah, Jordan Love, man. You know, over 4,000 yards, second in the league in passing touchdowns this year. I don't know where the Packers keep finding quarterbacks, but they found themselves another one. Sorry, buddy.
I know.
I hope you do.
I know.
I hope you do. But I think this will be closer than a lot of people think. Wouldn't surprise me if the Pack upset the Cowboys. I like Dallas 31-26 in this one.
Rams-Lions.
Oh, this is the Rams all day. I just think that this is the one. You know, you've got Sean McVay. You know, you got a homecoming year with Matt Stafford going back to Detroit. The Rams are healthy. They look good. The Lions are banged up, Mark. I think this is a perfect recipe for a Rams win. And I think the Rams are the third best team in the NFC right now. They nearly beat the Ravens, who were coming off a bye a couple weeks ago. Give me the Rams in this one.
Eagles, Buccaneers. I know.
Man, are the Eagles playing bad, aren't they? But so are the Buccaneers. This is probably two teams that couldn't be playing any worse heading into the playoffs. You know, I got to give it to Baker Mayfield, though. What a gutsy performance. Wasn't a good performance, but it was a gutsy one on Sunday. You know, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and they're banged up, too. They got a lot of experience over the last couple of years. I just can't see, come hell or high water, the Eagles losing to the Buccaneers. I just can't see it. I just can't. So I'll take
it. This is my one game where I would not touch it betting-wise, where I have no idea what's going to happen. No, neither one.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Bucs can score a touchdown. I don't know. I don't know what the Eagles are doing. I mean, Eagles got embarrassed. I think the more damaging loss, forget the Giants game. When they lost to the Cardinals, it's like, what's going on here? What is this? This is bizarre.
Yep.
Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brevard Sports Network. My man, thank you so much for your help and enjoy the games this weekend.
Yeah, you too, Mark. Talk to you next week, buddy.